This music comes to you with love. This sound is the sound of life. This music comes from us to you. This sound is the sound of joy. Music, music, great black music, music all around us, in us, and we'll never forget you. Oh no. We sing our songs with the hope you'll see the truth is the same for all. Once that you know, you will feel so free, the light in you will shine.
Don Moyer, Joseph German from the Art Ensemble of Chicago 2004, their theme song, Odwalla, starting the program off tonight. And joining me tonight, Donovan Boxey. Hello, Donovan.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Yeah, good. And if you've been listening to the Juke Joint tonight, you know that this is the last night Donovan's working with Robert and I. Been here for over 2 years.
Yeah, just over 2 years.
Yeah, so. Okay.
Yep.
And logging in music and all sorts of things.
Absorbing all the knowledge yeah. that is offered.
And doing Nightside. And what is it, Tuesday night your last night?
Wednesday is
Wednesday last your night. Last night. Yeah. Okay, so Wednesday night you can catch Donovan doing his last night of Nightside too. So, but anyway, for a long time now, I've been wanting to do a program based on George Lewis's book, and which is on the history of the AACM music.
Yeah. Titled Power Stronger Than Itself.
Right. And so kind of been talking with Donovan about this for quite a while, and we thought we'd kind of pay tribute to the AACM music. You know, in all reality, 1 3-hour night is just really scratching the surface of the whole thing.
Right.
But we thought it'd be kind of fun to play things through the course of the last couple of years. Donovan has been really getting into some of this music and seeing a few of these people live.
Yep.
And it's been sort of a lifelong joy for me, I guess, if you will, enjoying the music of the AACM. And so thought this would be kind of a fun night to pull things together. We're not really going to focus on any one artist, or we're going to try to play an array of things and eventually play some older titles and then newer things with musicians. So
yeah, that's right.
So anyway, we thought we'd start off tonight with a recording called Sound by Roscoe Mitchell. And this was put out on the Delmark label, mid-60s. And by all accounts, this might be the beginning of the recordings of the AACM for sure.
Yeah.
And a really great band here that later became, a lot of them became the Art Ensemble of Chicago. Got Roscoe Mitchell on horns, Lester Bowie trumpet, Lester Lashley trombone, Maurice McIntyre, later known as Calaprusha, tenor, Malachi Favors bass, and Alvin Fielder on drums. We're going to hear open up with a track called Ornette, and then we'll be back to introduce a few more things. So I guess here we go. Let's have the right track.
Thank you.
started things out there with Roscoe Mitchell Sextet from the album Sound in a tune called Ornette, aptly titled First Recording. I'm here with Donovan Boxey, and got any thoughts on that, Donovan?
I guess you can hear how, well, the title obviously is talking about Ornette Coleman, I'd imagine.
Yeah.
And so you can see that the AACM drew influence from those artists like Ornette and Coltrane, but they're really original in
yeah.
their own right, you know.
I think that for me, the AACM, the title kind of refers for me to the fact that their music isn't as concerned about rhythm, melody, harmony.
Yeah.
And it's a music.
Sound.
Yeah. And then Roscoe later, or shortly after this, introduces what is known now as little instruments into the mm-hmm. sound of the art ensemble and Roscoe's bands that gets associated with the AACM, where they might use anything from squeaky toys to bells and gongs mm-hmm. and
yep.
in a piece of music. And so and Sound and Silence, I might even go to that extreme with it, where it's like you had Coltrane and Cecil Taylor and everybody, you know, playing hard and fast and furious in New York, and they kind of went 180 degrees mm-hmm. from that. So it's pretty interesting.
I've heard Leo Smith talk about concepts like that before, and he almost goes as far to say as much sound as there is, there has to be that much silence as well. You know, the silence is just as much a part of the music as the sound.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And I think their music, you know, displays that really well. Mm-hmm. I thought we'd lead off here. If you were listening to the program last week, I did a feature on Canadian jazz and had interviews with different folks. And I interviewed Bill Smith. And actually, this segment comes from an interview I did with Bill, who was an editor for Quota magazine and musician and also recorded a lot of the AACM members on the Sackville label out of Toronto. And I recorded this back in 2011 when Mujal Richard Abrams, whom he references, was still alive at the time. And I asked him about the AACM, and I really like this response that he gave, and kind of, I think it sums things up nicely. And we'll come back and talk for a second and introduce a couple of pieces after that. So we'll go to Bill Smith.
Them and Europeans.
Right. One last AACM question. I just wondering if you could speak to the idea of how you feel about that, the AACM movement in jazz, you know, kind of in a historical perspective. You know, speak to the uniqueness of it through your eyes or whatever.
It's wonderful. It's such a fantastic thing that, such a fantastic organization that, which ended up with like elders, you know, that's how important it is. It ended up with like a whole amazing history. It taught young people about their, you know, the spiritual music of Chicago and elsewhere, of course.
Right.
It made other organizations happen, you know, like BAG,
right.
You know, that kind of thing. I think it developed a whole awareness of collective organizations. Now, I'm not sure that they're all successful, you know, because there's always internal politics. But I think the AACM, out of it has come so many fantastic players.
Right.
And coming, I think. They're still coming. I mean, it
yeah.
hasn't ended, you know. And they've somehow they've made Mujal into the sort of I don't know, the god or whatever.
Yeah.
Because he's become the elder,
right.
You know, the elder statesman, and he's a charming, wonderful, talented man. It's like as though they're like an evolving family.
Yeah,
you know. Of course, I'm now away from the jazz scene for quite a few years, so I don't know what they're doing anymore, but I presume they haven't stopped.
Right. How would you speak to the unique musical aspects that they maybe introduced into the free jazz of the 60s?
Well, they certainly had a, I mean, they have the obvious influences, the saxophone players anyway, of Ornette Coleman and Coltrane, without a doubt.
Mm-hmm.
They still have that. But, you know, they bring something else. They brought, for example, they brought theater.
Right.
Kind of interesting. Their mantra, ancient to the future.
Right.
No, I mean, they brought a kind of Africanness or
right.
a kind of historical idea to them, to it that didn't exist before. And if you listen to the early recordings, you know, like Roscoe Mitchell especially,
yeah,
quartets. I mean, they're playing a kind of like a reorganized, Ornette Coleman and stuff.
I mean,
with their entirely their own sensibilities. You know,
right?
They're introducing all kinds of new. Rhythmic ideas, you know, outside of like swing.
Right,
know?
Right.
You know, even Ornette swung, right?
I just talked to Chuck Nessa a little while ago, and he's coming out in the spring with a Roscoe Mitchell quartet recording that predates anything that has come out of Roscoe before, and he said it really sounds really a lot like Ornette. So
I would think that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And Braxton always talked about, you know, Lee Konitz and Paul Desmond.
Right.
And
right.
Like that. He you know, as being part of his like influence. So I think, and they're the thing is that they're all interacting with each other. Do you know?
Right.
I mean, look at all those early Delmark and Nessa records. I mean, it's absolutely astounding, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
I mean, it's way away from even what we're considering avant-garde.
Yeah.
I mean, Cecil Taylor and Ornette and Coltrane, for just to pick three, are actually swinging.
Right.
You know, in that old, they're playing like an extension of jazz.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they're actually playing, you know, tunes and things like that. Where I think the AACM I think the fact that the record is called Sound.
Right.
Is very important.
Right.
I think that's a very pointed statement that it's called Sound. So.
Yeah.
I think that they were more concerned with that, and they were very into theater. Not all of them, of course.
Right.
I mean, I think the art ensemble almost became popular.
Yeah.
In a big way.
Right.
Almost.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
Not many of jazz musicians achieve that kind of thing without selling out.
Yeah. Right. Agree.
Without thinning down. Right.
Right.
But the art ensemble, in its heyday, attracted very large audiences,
sort of
like Sun Ra.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it was sort of like there was something that spoke to people, even though maybe they weren't. Wasn't just the music somehow.
No, it was like that's right. It was there was an attractor.
Right.
You know? And so I think the AACM, Chicago, is like just like an amazing place.
Right.
Of Chicago, going way, way back to like Louis Armstrong,
yeah.
and Hot Fives and all those kind of people. Amazing history.
Yeah.
So I think there is a sort of energy there, and they were the energy, or are, but they were the energy for a long time of where the music could go in Chicago.
Yeah.
And we were attracted to that.
Right.
You know, I mean, we were listening to the next extension of Train and Cecil and Ornette. And so, because you have to remember that
Short clip there with Bill Smith, former editor of Coda Magazine. Here with Donovan Boxey, and anything you'd like to comment on or lead into the next piece here?
He kind of touched again on what we mentioned just before, how he thought it was super important that the album was named Sound.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, and one of the things that really strikes me in his comment there, too, is he talked about how important a city Chicago has been for jazz. I mean, right from the golden early days of the origins of the recordings of jazz, Louis Armstrong and King Oliver and all those people, most of them moved up from New Orleans to Chicago, and then Chicago kind of became the urban center for jazz. And, you know, there's been other important cities, Kansas City and, of course, New York later on. But Chicago goes way back. It isn't just like it was sort of like a newfound music city like Austin, Texas or something like that.
Bill also touched on the theatrical element of the AACM music, and especially in bands like the Art Ensemble.
Right.
And that could even come from, you know, like Sun Ra, which is also from Chicago. So.
Right. I think there's a connection there, although usually the AACM people deny that. I've noticed reading, you know, and I get that too. I mean, it's an incredibly unique movement in music, beginning in the 60s and documented originally by Delmark Records when Chuck Nessa worked for Delmark Records. Then later Chuck starts his own label, Nessa Records, and so Chuck, as Bill referenced there too, is real important in recognizing the brilliance of this music right away and making sure a lot of these people got recorded. And that leads us to the first thing you picked out here.
Yeah, coming up next we're going to hear music from an important saxophonist in the AACM, Anthony Braxton. And we're going to hear a piece from his second release on the Delmark label. His first one was titled Three Compositions of New Jazz, and I think that's a pretty important title as well.
You know? Right.
But this one is titled For Alto, and it was originally a double LP of completely solo alto saxophone music. It was recorded in the summer of 1969, and this piece we're going to hear is titled To Pianist Cecil Taylor.
Yeah, and should mention that I don't think it's the very first solo record, but it's one of the first.
Pretty monumental record. Okay. So.
Anthony Braxton. I'm This is listener-supported WCMU, a service of Central Michigan University.
music from Wadada Leo Smith from his album Creative Music One, and we heard a piece titled Nine Stones on a Mountain. Featured Leo on trumpet, seal horn, recorder, Indian wood flute, harmonica, auto harp, hand zithers, and bells, and was recorded in December of 1971 for his own Cabell label.
Yeah, and that's something we were talking about, you know, Chuck Nessa documenting, you know, the first recordings of those people on Delmark and then his own label, but then, you know, the whole organization is about, you know, getting their own concerts and setting up their own recording spaces and a do-it-yourself thing, and so I think this record's significant because it's the first time I think one of the AACM members published their own record.
Yeah.
And I remember mail ordering those from Leo Smith. I still have the handwritten receipts that he sent out with the records when I bought them. So, yeah, really, really great. And then that record gets into the small instruments that we were talking about, too.
Where, right, yeah. You can really hear all the little sounds he's going for.
Right.
And he did everything.
Right.
And there was no overdubbing on that track.
Live track, yeah.
Live track with all the little instruments and lots of space.
Right.
Lots of silence. So
Before that,
we heard music from Anthony Braxton, a piece titled To Pianist Cecil Taylor off of his solo saxophone album For Alto. And that was a pretty big contrast. I mean,
yeah.
Anthony Braxton is pretty aggressive on that track.
Right.
And but you can hear a lot of blues influence and bebop influence still in that piece, even though most people wouldn't consider it that.
So. And also, those two, Leo Smith and Braxton, were in a band together at that time, too, which is interesting.
We've kind
of taken the concept you just mentioned. And there's a couple of records, and again, we don't have time to play everything that they did on the BYG Actuel label when all those bands were in Paris in 69.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a something, just comment or question, I guess. You seem real attracted to a lot of the solo and duet pieces of the AACM,
which
I think is interesting because, and that's probably maybe because I'm a bass player and you're a horn player, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked the group stuff. I think I was attracted to more at first. Now, I don't dislike anything, but I just kind of, if you could speak to what is it, you know, appeals to you about that.
I guess it's because it's a big contrast of what I was used to growing up and listening to music. When I first was introduced to jazz, I was listening to artists like Hank Mobley or Dexter Gordon, and the saxophone was usually the melody instrument, I guess you could say. And but when I heard a saxophone played solo or a trumpet played solo, I just really thought it was great because you have to act at certain points as every member of the ensemble, even though it's just one person. So
yeah,
and you can learn to play the instrument differently if you're just by yourself.
Right.
I think you can get into a rut, sort of, if you're playing with the same instrumentation all the time.
Yeah.
So I think it's really important to play in all different ensemble settings and sizes because it just makes you well-rounded.
Yeah. I think that this is like a definitely a unique aspect of the AACM, too, is the way that they would record in all formats. I think they were the first grouping of musicians in jazz that started to do this type of thing regularly, and yeah.
And they kind of brought in other instruments that you wouldn't necessarily think would be in ensembles like that, like violins and strings, the little instruments.
Yeah.
Any instrument, because there's always people that are multi-instrumentalists.
Right.
You get people like Roscoe Mitchell that are playing saxophones, but also clarinets, flutes, oboes, like lots of double reed instruments, and then percussion as well.
Everybody plays percussion.
The percussion cage and stuff.
The
like
art
that,
ensemble of Chicago, after their drummer joined the Butterfield Blues Band, Philip Wilson, they were drummerless for quite a few years before Don Moye joined. And, you know, those are really incredibly unique records, and we might play from something a little bit later on. I'm going to get this in here. This is listener supported, WCMU, a service of Central Michigan University. And kind of with our conversation there, I'm going to turn to the Art Ensemble of Chicago, whom in my mind, I think in the 70s, Braxton and the Art Ensemble were both like held in real high regard as being the, you know, some of the next wave of jazz. But I think Art Ensemble kind of overtook them somehow over mm-hmm. time. And I saw both artists several times back in that era. Art Ensemble always were kind of at the center of things for me. And I went to workshops in Lansing with Roscoe and things back in the 70s. I think Sun Ra and Art Ensemble might have been the two bands that really just, you know, changed my life, you know, seeing them musically. And I saw both groups many, many times. So I want to play an Art Ensemble piece here. And I decided to take this next piece kind of in a 180 from where we were with the solo mm-hmm. and play a track from a film score that they did called Les Danses of Sophie, which was part of their, when they were in England or in France, they were pretty prolific in that time and recorded for BYG and French America label. Chuck Nessa licensed a few EMI recordings, and this is one of those that he licensed. And this record actually is the first album that Moye joined the band. And Lester Bowie, the trumpet player from the Art Ensemble, had a real extensive rhythm and blues background mm-hmm. in his playing. And this song, he married Fontella Bass, really great R&B singer, had a number one hit, Rescue Me, back in that era. It was kind of like a Motown-type song. And they made a lot of money. And they took the money that she made and paid to haul all of their instruments by ship over to France mm-hmm. and set up shop there for a couple of years. And so she off and on joined the band. And so this for the soundtrack, they wanted some vocals, the filmmaker. And so this piece, themed to D'Yo-Yo, features Fontella Bass singing almost like an R&B thing with Art Ensemble, but the Art Ensemble really cuts loose on this as well. So let's check that out.
Your fanny's like two sperm whales floating down the sand, yeah. Your voice is like a long fork that's music to your brain.
Music there from Joseph Jarman and Don Moyer, recorded live 1979 in Ann Arbor. And really great track, untitled here, but I believe it was also issued on an Indian Navigation album. Saw them at that concert. It was spectacular. And you could hear ankle bells and things in that. You know, both artists were moving and dancing, and, you know, it was kind of a full... The theatrical thing that we were talking about earlier was on display. Mm-hmm. And then we opened it up with the very first album that Don Moyer appeared on, where he joined the band in 1970 in Paris, La Stanza Sophie, and a tune called Theme de Yo-Yo featuring Fontella Bass. Lester Bowie's then wife on vocals. And really, again, back in this day when they were, you know, we heard some of these really out things early in the program. When this album came out, it was one of those records that I think helped cement them with non-believers in their music a little bit, because it sort of had that R&B flair. I think the people that couldn't wrap around some of the other ideas of theirs could recognize the fact that they were good musicians, you know.
Yeah, they really could play anything.
Yeah,
and
right.
They draw influences from so many things, right. Like the, especially from Africa,
right?
And like on that track, R&B music, right. And Lester Bowie even brought reggae to the band,
right? And he played for a little while with Fela Kuti, the Nigerian musician, and yeah, he just really diverse, great, you know, R&B player. I think he's. In my mind, he's one of my very favorite trumpet players. He's always musical to me, always.
Yeah, me too.
I saw the Art Ensemble one time without him. And it wasn't like recently, but it was way back, and he couldn't make a gig. And I really missed him a lot more than I thought I would at the time. Mm-hmm. It really stood out at the time that it was really different. And I, at the time, I found it more... difficult to listen to, you know. And again, I like all the members of the band, but it just was something that I remember. So.
Each one of them brings a totally different, unique thing.
Right.
You know, that really makes the whole ensemble.
Yeah,
so.
Right. A really great band. That band there was Don Moyer drums, who actually grew up in Detroit. Lester Bowie trumpet. Roscoe Mitchell was on alto. Joseph Jarman tenor. Did I mention Lester trumpet, and Malachi Favors on bass.
And Fontella Bass.
Yeah, on the vocal, yeah. And we're at the top of the hour here, so we're going to run that stuff and come back.